If we haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name is Chris. I'm one of the pastors here at Citizen Church. And right now on staff, I actually have the privilege of overseeing the expansion of our North Campus. So really cool things to come for that. But it's good to be with you guys today. And I want to give you a little provision or, buffer. You're in store for it this morning because I'm a little fired up. I was up at 4:30. I've had 3 Red Bulls and 2 coffees, so I can hear color right now. I'm ready to go. So we're going to have some fun this morning. So loosen up a little bit. We're going to have a good time. Is that okay with everybody? Oh, good. 3 of you. Praise Jesus. All right, well, hey, we are in week 6 of our sermon series, Summer in the Psalms, and today specifically, we're in Psalm chapter 30, and so there's going to be some info on the screen behind me about Psalm 30, and this psalm is written by David, or otherwise known as a Davidic psalm, and he most likely wrote this at the end of his life, looking back over the history and course of his life and realizing how good God was to him. He had to give God praise, and so the entire idea today is giving God praise for who he is and because he is good. There's a couple major themes in this psalm. One is gratitudes for God, deliverance, victory, and giving God, like I said, praise. So before we jump in this morning, I've got to ask everybody a question. Does anybody in here like food? Yeah, y'all, I love food, which is a struggle for me because besides pastoring, I also like try to help people be fit, and like it's really hard when I'm shoving calories in my face all day, every day. But here's the thing. There is something that I love very much, and it is Chick-fil-A. Anybody with me? Like, guys, I love this. This is so good. And somebody's like, it's Sunday. How did he get that? Y'all, I got a chicken sandwich plug. Is God's good? Not really. This is a McDonald's sandwich with a Chick-fil-A sticker on it. Sorry, it's just true. But I love Chick-fil-A. Even more so, I love the spicy chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A. On June 7th, 2010, Chick-fil-A officially made it part of their menu after test piloting it in some markets, and it blessed my life. In fact, I remember where I was the very first time I had a Chick-fil-A spicy chicken sandwich. It was 2010. I was living in Bowie, Texas, which is in the middle of nowhere with no restaurants. We had a Dairy Queen, a McDonald's, and a Sonic, and that was it. In fact, the first time I was in that Dairy Queen, the lady grabbed a cup and said, "What do you want?" coughed in my cup and then filled it up and handed it to me. That's the place I was living. So we went to the big city of Fort Worth, Texas, and had some Chick-fil-A, and I experienced the spicy chicken sandwich, and it was so good. It blessed me. Have y'all ever had something happen to you so good in life that it just changed everything? That was kind of the experience I had with that until 2019 when we moved back to Albuquerque, New Mexico. Then something shifted. I was shook. Because there was this little shop opened up called Stripes Burrito Company. And I don't know if y'all have ever had a Stripes chicken sandwich before. It's, oh, praise Jesus for Stripes. It's not as pretty as Chick-fil-A. I'm sure you might die if you eat there too much. But it is so good. In fact, our worship director, Sterling, who just moved here, when he moved here, I think he ate this sandwich every day for 30 days straight. I prayed for him every day that his arteries would stay clear. But I'm not even lying. That's not an exaggeration at all. But it was so good that when I had it, I had to tell everybody I knew about a stupid chicken sandwich. The praise that came from that chicken sandwich was undeniable in my life. And for most of us as believers, that's the place we need to get to in our relationship with Jesus. Because he has been so good to us, so faithful for us. The praise that comes out of our life has to be undeniable when it comes to that. Psalm chapter 30, verses 4 and 5 says this. Sing praise to the... Oh, do you have to take it away? I wanted to smell it the whole time. Okay, thanks, Lexi. What was it saying? Oh, yeah, Psalm 30, 4 through 5. Sing praise to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. David right here saying, hey everybody, God is so good, we have got to praise him. But then he goes on and says something a little odd. God's favor is but for a moment, his anger is but for a moment, and his favor lasts a lifetime. And when I read that, to be honest, I'm like, what? God's anger? And when we think about that, that's a lot of our thought of God sometimes. Some of us, if we're not careful, we think of God in heaven sitting there looking down at us, angry for something we've done, something we've said, somewhere we've been. But the truth is, God is not an angry God. When David's referring to that, he's saying God's anger or his displeasure with the state of our life only lasts a little while because he loves us enough to correct us. So God's correction, it only lasts a little bit, and that's uncomfortable, right? Like, nobody likes being corrected, right? Like, somebody like, no, I'm so holy. Like, God can correct me, and I receive it, and it's a blessing. No, you don't. Nobody likes being wrong. But when we're willing to surrender, say, you know what, God, that's on me, his favor lasts forever. And because of that, he is worthy of being praised. So what is praise exactly? Well, the dictionary defines it simply as this: to express admiration of. You know, a lot of times we'll come into church and we'll hear the term praise and worship, right? We just sang some songs for a while. And I think a lot of times we get those two things mixed up, if I'm being honest, right? Worship, let me define it for you. Worship is from you to God. You are blessing God. You are worshiping him. That's between you and God. Praise is coming out of your mouth about God for everybody else to hear and yourself. So worship, it's to God. Praise is about God. It's saying how good God is. And can I tell you, it's so important because so many times we just forget. Like, we're human and our default setting is to forget how good God is. And when we praise him, it reminds us just how amazing he is. So Psalm chapter 63, verses 3 through 7 tells us how to praise. David says this: because of your steadfast love, and it's better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. Come on, somebody, fat and rich food. Y'all, I had a steak last night, and it was so good. It was fatty, and I'm not going to get to eat like that again for a long time, but praise Jesus. Anyway, my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. So right here, the writer of this passage gives us four ways that we can praise God. The first is simply this: I will say how good you are. I'm going to actually open up my mouth and tell other people how good you are. I'm not just going to talk about a chicken sandwich or a steak, but I'm going to say how good God is and all the things that he's done in my life. The next way is that I'm going to lift my hands in praise to you. Just a moment ago, we were singing songs, praising God, worshiping him. And some of you, maybe you grew up in a little bit different church background, or it's your first time coming here. I'm like, these people are nuts. They're like singing to the top of their lungs. They've got their hands raised. Why? Because the Bible says to do it. This is a sign of praise and surrender, right? Anytime you're anywhere, God, I surrender. Police officer, I'm sorry, I surrender. Don't shoot me, right? Or, wow, that was amazing. You're great, right? Hands go up. I almost made an inappropriate reference. We're going to move on. We praise God. Somebody's like, what are you talking about? It's okay. I'll tell you when you're older. Also, he tells us to think about God. He says, I will meditate on you when I'm laying in my bed at night. I'm going to actually fix my thoughts on how good God is. And guys, that's so important, right? To fix our thoughts on the goodness of God. I'm going to let you in on a little bit of a secret. I have what some people would call an obsessive personality. Like, if I'm into something, I am really into whatever that thing is for at least 3 weeks. And I will obsess over it. I will do all of the online research. right? If I'm going to buy something, I will research it for 3 months before I buy it, reading every review, seeing what everybody has to say. I will watch 1,127 YouTube videos on it. I obsess and I fixate on things. Well, the truth is, really, we should do the same with God. We should fix our thoughts on how good he is, because whatever we think about, that's where we're going to end up, right? But it's so interesting to me that in our day and age, most people simply let their feelings dictate their actions, right? I feel this way, so I'm going to act this way. And can I tell you, to be honest, that is a dangerous place to live. For a lot of us, we have gotten ourselves into a whole heap of mess because we felt a certain way and acted on that feeling and looked back and go, ooh, that was a bad idea, right? Versus as believers, we need to act on what we know is true. How do we know what's true? Read the word and we think about it. And when we act on it, our feelings will eventually follow our actions, right? Here's the thing. I love to mow the lawn. I'm a little bit weird. Anybody else? Anybody else like to mow the lawn? Three of you, praise God. What's wrong with this guy? I love the instant gratification of it. I am an instant gratification person. I want it now, and that's it, right? And so I love getting out there, and you cut the grass this way, and then that way, and you got the lines, and you sit back, and you're like, that looks good for like 3 days. And then you have to do it all over again. But the truth is, nobody actually likes mowing the lawn. It's hot, right? It's like 97 degrees, 50% humidity right now, which is ridiculous for New Mexico, right? Nobody wants to do it. I'm like, ooh, I am so excited to go outside and get sweaty. No, I'm like, God, I don't want to do this. But I know that if I do it, I'll be satisfied. So even though I don't feel like it, I'm going to do it anyway. As believers, we have to act on the truth and let our feelings follow our actions, which is the importance of fixing our thoughts on God. And the last way we praise God is we sing. The writer of the psalm says it's important to sing. That's why we come in and do it. And it's so interesting because in today's age, there's this thought process going around in some church circles of people way smarter than me. Of like, oh, we don't actually need to like get together every week and sing and hear a message. There's not really a point to that. That couldn't be further from the truth. Man, we need to come together. We need to praise together because sometimes I don't feel like it, but when I hear the person next to me praising, even though they sound like a coyote in a trash compactor when they sing, my spirit is lifted. I'm not talking about anybody in particular. I'm joking. Sorry, Nick. I'm kidding. Pastor Nick actually sings really good. He used to be on our worship team. Fun fact. I did too. Well, I guess I am again now. But anyway, I digress. So what was I saying? Oh, singing. It's important because it reminds us of just how good God is. So we know how we praise. This morning, I want to unpack two thoughts. The first is why we praise. Why do we praise? Well, number one is this. We praise simply because he's good. We praise God because he's good. And here's the thing. We praise everything because it's good. I will praise a chicken sandwich because it's good. God bless Stripes and whoever created that, right? Or how about this? Any sports fans in here? Any football fans? Where are my Cowboys fans at? Oh, yes. I am believing in the name of Jesus that this year is the year we will get back to the 90s of the days of Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman. It'll be great. It's not going to happen, but I'm going to believe in my heart anyway, right? But we'll go nuts when somebody scores a touchdown. Or listen, I was at a New Mexico United game a few weeks back, and guys, people lost their ever-loving minds when somebody scored a goal. He's so great. He kicked the ball in the net. My four-year-old can do that. Big whoop. And I just offended so many soccer fans. I'm just kidding. There'll be a time to reconcile after service today. I love you. God loves you. It's fine. But we praise things when they're good, right? Man, that's awesome. That has affected my life, and so I'm going to praise it. I'm going to lift it up. Well, the same is true in our relationship with God. God is good, and so I'm going to praise him for what he's done in my life. Psalm chapter 30, verse 11 through 12 says this. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. David's saying, because you've done all of this in my life, I'm gonna praise you. God, you have been so good to me, and because I think about it, I sing about it, I lift my hands in praise and worship, I know that you're good, and because of those things, I'm gonna praise you. My praise is going to be uncontainable because of how good you are to me. Second reason this morning that we praise is because God saved us. Because we were dead in our sin and we've become alive again through Christ Jesus. Psalm chapter 30, 1 through 3 in this says this, "We exalt you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I have cried to you for help and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought my soul up from Sheol and restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit." In fact, scholars think in this specific part of Psalm chapter 30, David may have been battling a life-threatening illness. And so he's laying in this saying, God, you've got to heal me. And God does. And David is giving him praise because of that. I was dying and you saved me. But for us as New Testament believers, there's something even bigger than that. I was dead in my sin. I was separated from God. I was far from him. But because of his love for us, he sent Jesus Christ to pay the price for my sin on a cross that I don't have to spend eternity separated from God, but I can have a relationship forever in heaven with him. That's a reason to praise. We can clap there. And the truth is, guys, if God never did another thing for us, we would still have a reason to praise. If the only thing God ever did for us was save us, that would be enough. And the truth is, for some of us, that makes us a little uncomfortable. Because if we're not careful, we can view God as this genie in a bottle of, well, God, I'm gonna pray because I need this, this, and this. And so I need you to deliver. And if you don't deliver, you're not good. That's a dangerous place to be, because God is good no matter what. He proved that through Jesus on the cross. But the good news is, that's not God all ever did for us. He does that and so much more. The Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. When we wake up, we have a whole new fresh dose of grace on our life from the creator of the universe. And I think that's pretty good. That's why we praise God. Romans 3, 23 and 24 says this, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Other translations say, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Guys, that's it. That is the good news in one passage of scripture. You want to know if God's good or not, no matter what circumstance is going on in your life, you can go back to Romans chapter 3. I was dead in my sin and far from God, but he looked at me at my worst moment in life and said, "I love you anyway, and I'm going to send my son Jesus to pay the price for that on the cross." That is the reason, that is the core of why we praise God. The third reason this morning that we praise God is simply because he's God. And to be honest, we don't talk a whole lot about this in our westernized Christianity because we want to praise God for what he's done. But the truth is, the most important reason to praise God is simply because of who he is. Because he's God. He's the creator of the universe and he is sovereign, and that alone is worthy of praise. In fact, Luke chapter 19 opens up and Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. It's a week before he's gonna go to the cross, Palm Sunday, and he sends his disciples out to get a donkey for him to ride in on into Jerusalem, which was bizarre because that's like the lowest of the low. So Jesus was making a point there. But it picks up in Luke chapter 19, verses 37 and 40, and it says this. And as he, meaning Jesus, was drawing near, already on the way down from the Mount of Olives, a whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." In other words, the religious leaders are like, "Hey, Jesus, this is getting a little weird. These people are praising you. That's not good." And Jesus looks at him and doesn't say, "Oh, you know what? Yeah, I'm making some people uncomfortable. And man, I don't ever want to do that. Let's reel it back a little bit." No. Jesus looks at him and says, "Well, praisers got to praise." Right? He says this, "I tell you that if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." Meaning at the end of the day, no matter what, God's getting praise one way or the other. And the good news is we get to play a part in that. We were created to praise God. But if we don't, the rest of creation will, simply because he's God. Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11 says, "So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Guys, God's going to be praised whether we feel like it or not. But the good news is we get to jump on board and praise him. And the even better news is we reap some benefits when we do that. So we just talked about why we praise God. Let's talk about what happens when we praise. Because I love it. God is so good. He's worthy of all our praise. And if nothing ever happened in return, that'd be fine. But he's so good and he loves us so much that we get to reap the benefits of praise. So what is that? What does praise do? Well, number one, it gets the focus off of ourselves and back on God. When we praise God, it immediately pulls focus off of ourselves and back on God. In other words, it shuts down all the complaining and negativity. Now, here's the thing. I'm a pretty happy person, but the older I get, for whatever reason, like, I'm just more negative. Like, I don't know if it's because I'm old and my back hurts or what, but like, I kind of default to the negative now if I'm not careful, right? I know you guys aren't like that. You guys are way wholer than me, but this guy's so sarcastic. I love you. I do. This is just fun, right? But like, I get a little bit negative. But the good news is when we praise God, it takes the focus off of ourselves, off my situation, and puts it back on God, right? It's so easy to be like, "Man, God, I haven't gotten the promotion yet. I haven't gotten the raise yet. Person across the street has way more money than me. Their kids are way more behaved than mine. Mine are straight from hell." Not really, my kids are the best ever. Sometimes, right? But we can get negative really easy if we're not careful. But when we praise God, it pulls that focus off of us and puts it right back where it needs to be. It is really hard to be negative about your situation when you're praising somebody else for how good they are. Like, if you're jealous and envious, that's one thing. But it's hard to be jealous and envious of God. So when we praise him, it puts us back in our place. In other words, it refreshes our spirit, right? Anybody ever like taking their kids to the zoo on a hot day and it's just gross out and the elephants smell and you don't want to be there and okay. Anyway, but right, it's like miserable, like, "I'm done walking around in the 100 degree weather. Let's go." And my daughter's like, "I'm just gonna skip." I'm like, "Walk to the car." Right? Because I just want to get in the car and turn on the air conditioner and take a cold drink of water. But when I do, man, that water, oh, it's like life. That air conditioning, you're like, "Oh, praise Jesus. From God, all blessings flow." And it's refreshing. And the truth is, when we praise God, that's what happens. It's refreshing to us. It refreshes our spirit. The second thing that happens when we praise is that it opens the door for the supernatural works of God. When we praise God, it invites him to show up. Now, I'm going to make a statement right now, and some of you are going to immediately disagree with me, and that's fine. I'm going to show you where you're wrong. Everybody loves to show off.
No, not me.
I'm humble and holy. Come on. Especially when you're egged on. Like when someone's like, oh, Bill, you are so good at golf. You're like, oh, yeah? Check out this shot, right? It's just something happens in you when somebody starts to say, wow, you're amazing at that. Something starts to bubble up on the inside of you a little bit, like, oh, let me just show you how good I am. So when I was 17 years old, I had a 2000 Toyota Tacoma. I loved this truck with all of my heart. It was beautiful. It had the TRD off-road package. It was great. And so one day I had convinced this girl to go on a date with me. I don't really know how, but she said yes, which was cool. And so I went and picked her up in my truck. It already sounds like a country song, right? And so I pick her up and she's like, wow, Chris, this truck is awesome. I bet it's amazing off-road. I was like, you bet. Let's go find out. Right? There was just something in me that was like, oh, you're giving some praise? Let me just show you how amazing I am. And so we head out past Paseo, north of Paseo, into like, you know, the what we used to call the Mesa, because there was no houses out there back then. It was just a bunch of dirt roads. And we're just like hauling up and down trails, having a great time. Like, it was fun. And then suddenly I pull up, and in the distance, about, I don't know, 50, 75 yards away, I just see this huge pile of tumbleweeds. Which, by the way, the other day I was walking somebody around our North Campus who's not from here. They're from back east. I'm like, oh my gosh, look, real life tumbleweeds. I was like, you bet, brother. Welcome to the Wild West. Pew, pew. But, yeah, I didn't think any of it. I was like, oh, yeah, we have those. Like, I've only seen those in cartoons. And so I'm looking at this pile of tumbleweeds. And ladies, you're not going to understand this because you're not built the same as guys. You're much wiser, much smarter than us, and that's okay. But there is something inside the DNA of a male that if they have the opportunity to destroy something, we're going to do it. And so for whatever reason, in my 17-year-old mind, I thought, I'm going to annihilate that pile of tumbleweeds with my truck. I should have been born in Texas or something. Anyway, and so I floor it, right? Put it in first gear, dump the clutch. Which, by the way, oh, it was a manual. Nobody knows how to drive manual anymore. And we're just hauling across the desert. The problem is, what I didn't realize is that these tumbleweeds were filling up a small ditch about 4 feet deep. And so at 40 miles an hour, as I get into the tumbleweeds, my Tacoma goes sailing off the edge of the ditch, nose first into the other bank, tailgate sticking straight up. And it was a bad day. We had to get a ride back to her house. We drove back, and she had to pull me out of that situation with her truck, and I never had a date again. And then I had to go home and explain to my dad why the truck needed a new bumper that he actually just replaced 2 weeks ago from the rear-end accident I had just got in. It was a bad day. All that to say, I wanted to show off. The good news is, when God shows up and shows off, he doesn't make mistakes. When we praise God, it invites him to do the supernatural. It invites him to show up and show off. Some of you are wondering, God, why have I not seen the miracle in my life that I've been praising for? Maybe it's because you haven't praised God yet for the answer you haven't received yet. Because I believe when we praise God, he wants to show up. But so many times we get caught in our own insecurity and desperation and forget that God's actually the one that's going to do the miracle anyway. And so we need to praise him. And then number four, as I wrap up this morning, is this. It reminds us of who God is, it reminds us of what God has already done and brings us hope for the future. The good news is, if God's done it once, he's going to do it again. You know, I remember really vividly being 11 years old, I think, at our old building over at Wyoming and Montgomery. And we were sitting there in a Sunday night service, because we used to have Sunday night service that was different than Sunday morning. Praise God, we don't do that anymore. And so we're sitting there, and we're just worshiping. And I'm on the left side of the auditorium, kind of front row. You know, I'm 11, I'm like kind of into it, but then I get distracted some. And I look over to the right of the auditorium, and there's this guy running up and down the aisle. Now, back then, honestly, that wasn't that weird, but I kind of noticed, I was like, well, that's odd. And it was odd because it was a guy by the name of Dan McClard. And what you've got to know about Dan is he served his whole life as a firefighter. And sometime in his mid-30s, he was crawling on a roof, climbing up a ladder, and the roof caved in during a fire. And so he fell several stories and shattered both of his knees and wasn't ever able to actually walk right since then. He had to walk around on canes. And so in that moment, I look over and I'm like, well, that's weird. Dan's running around, and he doesn't have his crutches. And not only is he running around, now he's starting to run up and down the side steps of the stage. I'm like, he couldn't even walk up those before. And what Dan had been praying for years and years and years and years and years and years, in a moment of praise, God did. Nobody stopped the service down. Nobody laid hands on him. Nobody shouted. He was just praising God. And in a moment, God healed him. And the good news is, Hebrews says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so this morning, I don't know where you're at in your life. I don't know what you're maybe waiting on God for. But the good news is, he's the same. If he's done it once, he's going to do it again. He's going to show up. And the fourth and final thing is this. When we praise God, it shows God that we can handle praise. What do you mean by that? You know, so often a lot of us have this thought of, God, why am I not there yet? Right? I spent a lot of my life youth pastoring and young adult pastoring, and I cannot tell you how many conversations I've sat across the table from somebody and they wondered, why am I still in the place that I'm in? How come I haven't seen the blessing that I want to see? How come I haven't seen the promotion that I've been working so hard for? And I think oftentimes, if we're being honest, it's because we're not ready for it yet. Because we're not built to handle the praise that might come with that yet. What do I mean by that? Well, there's a quote from a gentleman named Martin Lloyd-Jones, and he was a British minister in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and he said this: the worst thing that can happen to a man is to succeed before he's ready. And I love that, because so many of us think we're ready for the blessing, but we haven't built the platform of praise to God to handle it yet. So many of us want to receive that praise in our life, if we're being really honest, but we're not ready for it. You know, I really believe with all of my heart that it's because David, it's because he learned how to praise in the field when he was a teenager, when nobody was watching, when he was rejected from his family, nobody knew who he was, because he learned to praise there, that he was able to be praised in the palace. You know, the number one thing that was said about David was that he was a man after God's own heart. There's nothing higher, I think, that could be said about anybody than that. I want that to mark my life. I don't want people to think of Chris as the funny preacher or, you know, the guy that's really goofy. I want people to say, he loves God. And that was said about David simply because his life was marked by praise. And this morning, church, that's what we have to get. That's what we have to learn. At the end of the day, no matter what's going on, what my situation looks like the song we just sang, whether I'm in the highlands or in the heartache, I'm gonna praise God all the same. But the truth is, maybe for some of you sitting in here this morning, you would say, if I'm being honest, I don't have a reason to praise God simply because I don't have a relationship with God. And can I tell you that you didn't show up this morning by mistake? This is a God-ordained moment in your life because Jesus desperately wants a relationship with you. He wants to show you just how good he is. And so this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give those of you in the room today who maybe don't have a relationship with Jesus the opportunity to have one. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, that we will be saved. And so this morning, man, God wants to give you a reason to praise. He wants a relationship with you. And so if that's you, on the count of three, I'm just gonna ask you to slip your hand up and put it right back down. And we're gonna pray a prayer, and there's nothing magical about slipping your hand up. It's just that acknowledgement. It's that confession of, I'm in need of a savior. So if that's you, on the count of three, I'm gonna ask you to slip it up. One, two, three, go ahead and put it up. Thank you, thank you. You can put it right back down. This morning, we're gonna pray. And if you raise your hand, I just want you to say your own words to God, acknowledging him as Lord and Savior, and that you need him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving us enough to send your son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for our sin on a cross. God, thank you that you love us and that you have a plan and a purpose for our life. God, I pray for each and every individual in the room right now that is surrendering their life to you. God, I pray that you would just grab a hold of their heart and begin to speak to them. Let them know how much you love them. And God, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen and amen.